It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. And coming up, we will check in with our travel contributor, Elaine LaBalm, to hear about her tour of the best ballparks in the Midwest. Last year, you may remember, she went all over the East Coast to Washington, Philadelphia, New York, and other places to check out ballparks in the East. Now she is out in the Midwest in Minneapolis and Kansas City, St. Louis, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. And we'll hear about those ballparks from Elaine as soon as she gets here. She's obviously making her way back from one of those ballparks and must have had just too good of a time in Cleveland. So Rhonda Schultz of Local Goodness has decided to stick with us here and bring us up to date on some other things that we did not cover as we were looking at some of the different festivals and things going on in the last weeks of summer.
Well, one of the things that we like, I will say one thing, because as we segue into the travel segment, one of the things that we really like to do, and again, these festivals offer that opportunity, but one of the things we like to do to grab a hold of summer is find one little getaway that we can do every year in our state. And there are so many opportunities to do that and experience, again, the culture and food around our region and around southwestern Pennsylvania, whether it's going camping at Raystown Lake, which is the largest inland lake in Pennsylvania, and catching the Horseshoe Curve and going to State College and having the ice cream, you know, going to these different events, going to these different areas of our region are just one more way that we can grab a hold of summer. So whether it's Presque Isle up in Erie or, you know, sightseeing at the Grand Canyon of Pennsylvania out in the eastern part of our state, there's just a lot to discover and a lot to enjoy that you can do in a day or just over a short weekend.
All right. Well, Rhonda Schultz, Local Goodness, thanks again so much for being here to share all of that with us. And we will transition now to our travel correspondent, Elaine LaBalm, who has been traveling to the country's best ballparks, which is really a rite of passage for baseball fans. As I mentioned last year, our intrepid travel contributor ventured to some of the best ballparks in the East. This year, she followed the boys of summer through the Midwest, and she's here to tell us what the ballparks and cities have to offer. Elaine LaBalm, contributing editor for the e-zine Pop City, who also tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town. Elaine, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, it's great to be here, except you're not wearing a baseball shirt for me today.
I did not. Was I supposed to? You were supposed to bring me one.
It's in the bag.
Ah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, New Girl, baseball tour redux, this time around in the undiscovered gems of the Midwest, as you put it. Your first stop was Milwaukee, and I'm guessing there's more than beer and the Fonz in Milwaukee.
You know, there absolutely is. And I got to tell you, the first thing we did was we took a little walking tour of the city center. We stopped at the Milwaukee Public Market, which is absolutely amazing. Fashioned a great breakfast there. Then walked through their historic Third Ward neighborhood, a wonderfully gentrifying neighborhood. Lots of great old buildings. People are calling it the Brooklyn of the Midwest. Continued along an amazingly restored waterfront to the Milwaukee Art Museum, this building designed by the architect Santiago Calatrava, and it has these wings outside that flap at noon. It is the most stunning structure. Then segued on to Mader's.
Wings that flap at noon.
The building itself, it's almost like these huge, massive stories high wings. They close like a butterfly in the morning, then open, flap at noon, close at the end of
the
day.
What are they made of?
It's part of the building. I don't know. Is it concrete, fiberglass? I'm not sure. But they're stories high. Just Google Milwaukee Art Museum so you can see some of the photos. It's an absolutely stunning.
Just to see that.
It was worth it. We were there at noon so we could see the wings of the building flap. Followed it up with beer at Mader's, great restaurant in the German district. And we actually did see the bronze Fonz statue.
There is a statue of the Fonz in Milwaukee.
Life size. So it's not very big. I think I'm taller than the bronze Fonz. and what you need to know about baseball in Milwaukee at Miller Park is that at the seventh inning, after they sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, they sing the Beer Barrel Polka. And everybody sings along. There you go.
And did you see Bernie Brewer?
I did. And Bernie Brewer, you know,
he
slides down this stories high slide every time they hit a home run. This is their life size bobblehead mascot.
This is an actual person. A man in a costume who sits in a chalet.
does.
And then slides down into the...
He is either brave or silly or both. And he does slide down. He actually slides down sometimes just for fun when they haven't hit a home run. It's Milwaukee, my man.
All right. Well,
I loved it.
You had a good... Now, this is not one of your traditional old ballparks. I mean, Miller Park's...
brand new. It has a retractable roof. It's like they've plopped it down in the middle of this massive field, a couple exits up from downtown. It's gorgeous.
Is it a nice experience in there?
Absolutely. I loved it.
So you enjoyed the baseball?
I did.
Now, you then headed to Minneapolis to watch baseball there and also play a different sport. Clue us in.
Well, listen to this. This year, this summer, the Walker Art Center, which is one of the premier art museums, modern art museums in the country, a top five museum, has something going on called Artist Designed Mini Golf. And what they've done is they've recruited artists from the city and around the region to design these mini golf courses. Well, you can imagine what that looks like. I remember there was this one where there were these garden gnome strikers who were kind of trying to push the ball for you in different ways. And another one where you could pick up these topiary plugs and put them in different holes to mess up the people who are playing the round with you. It's an absolute hoot. And we did play 16 holes of Artist Design Mini Golf after our game at Target Field, which was also a fantastic experience. What else did I learn? There's a big rivalry between Milwaukee and Minneapolis baseball fans. Well, who knew? I showed up in a Brewers t-shirt.
Uh-oh.
I was almost booed out of the place. I checked, Paul. They're in different leagues. I thought, nothing doing.
Well, they used to be in the same league, in the American League.
We should have talked about this before I hit the road.
I would have warned you.
You would have, and here you are. We're in that Milwaukee Brewers blue today. So anyway, last thing.
Not for them. I thought this was a black blazer for the Pirates. But anyway, Target Field in Minneapolis is one of the new retro ballparks.
It's new retro.
Tell us about it.
Very close to downtown, so you can either take the light rail or walk from downtown. Beautiful stadium. The big statue of Minnie and Paul. Are you familiar with them? The two men, they shake hands.
They represent each city.
Minneapolis and St. Paul, exactly.
You're going to have to describe this now. They're up on a scoreboard, and they actually, when the Twins hit a home run, what happens?
Well, the sort of neon statue shows them shaking hands. Yes, so it's really
pretty cool.
Sweet. Pretty cool.
There's no retractable roof on this
ballpark. No,
this
it is not. It's outdoors. The sight lines are great. The stadium, it feels pretty darn cozy. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was we had a day game there. There are only two day games on our trip this year, and that was one of them. The sun was shining, and it was just a great place to to enjoy summer and watch a game.
Weekday games.
Two weekday games.
Right, because they play in the afternoon on the weekends.
Well, I mean, on our baseball tour, we only had two day games.
Okay,
we had a Sunday and a Wednesday, I believe it was, which is generally when baseball has day games.
Yes, and it's not like Wrigley Field, so you really have to plan those out if you want to catch them.
Absolutely, and it's not easy to do because most games are at night.
And so aesthetically, pleasing place?
Very much so.
And the food?
The food...
Did you have a Tony Oliva pulled pork sandwich?
I did not. My baseline at every stadium was having a steamed hot dog. And then at some of the other stadiums, I added on with some other stuff. But I can't say that there was anything super memorable food-wise. However, at Artist Design Mini Golf, what do they have? They have set up a food truck called the Doghouse. Fabulous hot dogs. I remember I had the show dog. It had coleslaw and pulled pork on it. Unbelievable. Probably cheaper than a ballpark dog, too. There you go.
Let's move on to Kansas City. The Royals, in addition to being a team that is on a streak, they have a barbecue smackdown? What's
going
on?
Well, you know me. I created a barbecue smackdown between Kansas City and St. Louis. And what can I say? St. Louis wins hands down. We did go to the very famous Arthur Bryant's in Kansas City, but not quite what it used to be. New kid on the block, Bogart Smokehouse in St. Louis. That barbecue is an 11 on a scale of 1 to 10. Everything we tried was amazing, including the deviled egg potato salad. But in barbecue, what I got to tell you, Paul, is that I know you're a purist on baseball stadiums. It does have the most massive scoreboard I have ever seen. It is huge in the shape of a crown.
And the fountain.
And the fountains. It's gorgeous. I know it's probably not what you're looking for. But it was beautiful. And off the whole trip, those maybe were the friendliest, most polite fans in the stands.
Now, on to St. Louis. The Pirates are playing there today against the Cardinals. And what about the new ballpark, a new old ballpark in St. Louis?
Well, It feels and is massive. But what I can tell you is that in St. Louis, baseball is a religion. I felt like I had stepped into a revival. Not only was everybody paying attention to the game, almost to the exclusion of everything else, it was the loudest ballpark we went to on this visit. But what tops it? The Gateway Arch. Literally, you can see it over the park in the distance. We spent several hours at the arch, something I'd wanted to do since I was a kid. Unbelievable experience. If you're going to go follow the Buccos this summer in St. Louis or anywhere else in the Midwest, be sure that you hit on these gems that are just so important. Things like the arch and, you know, have a sense of place and do stuff like that.
On to Cincinnati. We've got to hit Cincinnati and Cleveland before we wrap up here. And Cincinnati, well, there's the chili. I mean, that, do you need anything else?
Actually, you are going to get one, at least one other thing. You got to go to a place called Taste of Belgium for the chicken and waffles in the Over the Rhine neighborhood. In Cincinnati, right in the stadium, is the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum. They have an amazing exhibit right now on autographs. You cannot miss it.
And Cleveland, last but not least, where you say that the beer was arguably better than in Milwaukee?
I went to Nano Brew. This is a microbrewery that is actually even smaller than that. Nano, one barrel beers. Every beer I tried, and I'm not a beer drinker, was amazing. Go to Nano Brew in Ohio City, then go over to the game where you're going to find a lot of Tigers fans. At least we did that night. Detroiters just come right over to Cleveland to watch baseball. You're going to have a ball. Pardon the pun.
So if you had to pick in just a few seconds here, if you had to pick one ballpark, which was the best?
I got to tell you, I liked that Kansas City ballpark, and I think the fans had a lot to do with it.
Elaine LaBalme is our travel contributor, and she writes for the e-zine. She's the contributing editor for the e-zine Pop City. Also tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town. Elaine, thanks as always.
You betcha.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. Go to our website, WESA.FM, to listen to any of our past programs. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.